Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm on SFB Online, Fed Cumberland, and Starfleet Warlord. Josh Manhattan joins me with a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Currently, you can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions, call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com, search for call ID 17702, or more importantly, I think you should look for the upcoming episodes, and you'll probably find us there. And of course, we want for the best online experience, where you want to go to, you want to go to twitch.tv at twitch.tv/sfuoncall, and you will find it there. You'll be able to join the chat room and also be able to watch me streaming live on the internet. And of course, if you want to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you can follow me on the Twitters, X, whatever, at SFU on Call. Also, you can follow me at my personal account, which is Paul Franz, PaulFranz. There's no T in that. And of course, also, there is my business account, which is Franz Games, FranzGames. And of course, there's no T in that. And just a reminder that, of course, this lovely talkcast gets into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around net. Currently, I think there's only two, but there's still various. News from AV this week, they're still running the Freedom Sale. It goes until the 7th. So if you hear this before the 7th, you get a 17.76% off all sales through their shopping cart. There's only 10% off PDFs. There also is 10% off all PDF sales on Drive-Thru RPG, Wargame Vault, and of course, Warehouse 23. And of course, the sales are only available for individuals and not for stores. And quick news from ADB on Mike West and Steve Cole were busy discussing FedCom ship cards. And he said, but honestly, I can do these faster than I can check cards someone else did. So production of these still stays with him. Mike did talk to him also about talk Steve Cole out of adding dogfight drones to FedCom. Thank the Lord, because it's bad enough. And it's bad enough that people want to add the fighters. And I think the fighters are the worst thing you could ever do to FedCom. And I'm one of those people that's like, okay, they can add the module. I won't play it. I won't touch it with a 10-foot freaking pole because of it's just no. No. I think that's what, when it went from, you know, when it comes to fleets, it's like, okay, you got one ship and then you have all these attrition units. And when it comes to war, that makes sense. But for playing, it's not nearly as fun. And this week, I found an online store. We had the F&E chart book. It's only $5, so you're going to place the chart book that's, you know, if you've ruined it for your own collection. You know, if you have a Federation Empire and your chart book has been kind of ruined by coffee or your dog or your cat, like a cat shredded it, you know, that happens. I have cats, I know this. But this chart book is for Federation Empire. The loose leaf version of this book will be printed on single sided on card stock. So, that's always cool. Moving onward and forward when it comes to the SFB Online tournaments, we have, of course, Sapphire Star 19 tournament signups are still open. Also, when it comes to the 500 BPV tournament, round two is still set. I'm playing against Frank LeMay to replace Justin because of he had to exit stage left because he's just too busy at this point. When it comes to online client, now I just released this past week on Wednesday. Version 4.81 of the client. This should fix the problem that had for certain ships not showing up, you know, when they were on the opponent's side. So that should fix that problem. Also, there's some other minor issues that were fixed. You know, one was an accessibility issue with the warning color is being red for when it comes to the EAs. But the color of the text was black, so it's not really wasn't really good for high resolution, you know, for differentiation. So I changed that to be white as per request, Jason. And also the other one was FedCom. I made sure that the all units checkbox actually works for the tractors. And I think raids. Yeah, and raids. And when it comes to the lab report for this week, not much there. Actually, I need to work on that some. I definitely won't be working on it today. Hopefully, I can work on it maybe on Sunday or possibly this upcoming week. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, I'm one of our Paul friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we have me, of course. Hold on, me. Looking at my video seems just a little bit. Okay, I wonder if I'm actually watching my. Oh, there's a chat replay. Okay. So that was. Stream manager? Maybe? Okay, let's go there. Okay, that looks good. Okay. Forgive me for previously. Yeah, because I was looking at the replay. I know the previous replay, I started out blurry and I had to do the whole hand thing to get the camera to refocus properly. And this time, actually, that wasn't the problem. But it was just me watching my old replay. Wow. And what a way to start the night, you know? Okay. So, tonight, actually, it's starting late, which is perfectly fine to me. I figured, actually, I want to talk about my 500 BPV game just real quick. Holy cow, what the heck? Don't mind me. Let me get back to here. What's renewing tomorrow? That's kind of important. Okay, so where is it? There would be actually it would be here, right here. And that minor. Okay, switch over to Frank. Frank LeMay. I was being good and nice. Because I was any time I want to. In theory, I could cheat. To be honest, in theory, I could cheat because I am quote unquote God when it comes to SFP Online. Because I can transfer people's ownership to myself easily. If I want to, I could look at their EAs. I could do anything I wanted to. I don't want to do that. And I have not done that. You know, that's why I wanted to actually get the game file from Justin, give it to Frank, with him doing that, so there'd be no possibility of me, you know that happening. But just to let you know, Frank actually took a look-see, and he went, Justin, you made some mistakes. One of those was that originally my destroyer took 20 points of damage, problem. Unfortunately, part of the problem here is that I'm not as familiar with all of the SFB rules when it comes to lending, launching, and all that kind of thing when it comes to different things. And according to Frank, okay, the BCF launched her MRS shuttle. All's good, then good. Problem. On 2.26, MRS lends VCF 2/4. Now that normally wouldn't be a problem because MRSs can actually lend EW to the launching ship. No problem. Problem though. According to Frank, he looked it up, and lending can't happen until impulse 2.30. So impulse 30 of turn two. So as it takes 8 impulses to unlock the EW landing and cycling the phasers. So when he fired at my destroyer on the impulse 28 of turn two, he unloaded 10 proxies, approximately 16 phaser ones, all range 16 to 25. I forgot what those phaser ones. There's no indication the ship, my understanding at that point was that there was no shift. And as Frank said, there was no indication that there was a shift. And according to, but since the MRS couldn't be loaning the EW at that point in time, there actually was a shift. There was a plus one shift for the phasers from the BCF and the photons from the BCF. Because I had 10 points of ECM between the EM and the actual ECM that I was having for all my ships. So, all
right.
He looked it all up.
He made a big boo-boo.
Yeah, the Proxys hit 1-3, 4 points of damage. Phasers hit is 1 or 2 for 2 or 1 point. If you roll a 1, it's for 2 points. Roll for, and so forth. The NCL, the new cruiser, is first up with 4 Proxys and 4 phaser ones with +0. Okay, so 2 of them, one Prox rolls. 3, 3, 6, 5, and 6. F4, 1 hits for 4 points. And then the phaser 1s for 2 more. 6 points there. BCF is next up with a plus 1 shift. So next 4 prox rolls, 6, 6, 1, 3, 4 points. Because of the plus 1 shift. So one of the proxes misses. So it's only 1 prox hits instead of 2. And then the phaser rolls, because of the plus one shift, he rolls 5, 5, 2, 6, 6, 4, 2, 2. Well, all those twos gone. They shift off to being 0 points, and therefore 4 points of damage total from the BCF. The destroyer leader last at 0 shift, 2 prox photons, 6 and 4 misses completely. And the last 4 phaser ones, 6, 1, 2, 1, really nice hit, nice die rolls for 5 points of damage. So a total of 5. So 6 plus 4 plus 5 is 15 total points instead of the 21. Because I reinforced for 1 point of damage. One for 1 point, so that originally the 20 points is now only 15 points. So, the destroyer gets. What are you doing, guys? Sorry, my kittens are acting squirrely. They're kittens. Aww. No, I know they're very cute. What are you really, guys?
So what was the damage difference?
The difference is 5 points of damage difference. But,
9 points?
5 points of damage difference.
Oh, 5.
And he just wanted to let me know if I want me to have him let. I need to let him know if the 1 point of brick I put on the shield, if I still am going to be using that. Now, one thing I got to do, I have to go look at my ship. Because I don't remember if I used my batteries for reinforcement or it actually was reinforcement, which was already applied. That I actually had pre-allocated.
Allocated.
I do not know. And even if I do know, later on, if I do know, the question is, of course, is what do I want to do? Because obviously, the problem is that the destroyer originally, of course, the destroyer only had the 20-point shield, so I got now a one box shield. And
Did it
obviously,
affect your subsequent play?
well, that's why I have to find out, was it by reinforcement, or was but from batteries, or was it actual reinforcement that was pre-allocated, in which case I would still be having the 1 point on the shield. So just to let those of you know that, because Frank, actually he was asking me if I could play last night, but I could not, because the focus for last night was getting out the latest release of the client. Oh, I'm sure it's frustrating to both the players of SBL9 and me equally so, in that the third party library I've been using has been flaky as of late. The more up to date versions seem to be not as solid as the version I used way back when. And this, in theory, I could probably go back to that version, but at the moment, I'm hesitant to. If this version is solid, if it fixes all the problems, if we don't have any more problems, then we're golden. I'll stick to it for a long time to come. I 100% promise people that if this is solid, it will not happen again. So, yeah, it's frustrating to say at the very least. But he wanted to play, but we can't. So I won't be able to play him until. Let me look at this. I know he sent me an email about it, which was, I think he's not gonna be able to play until like the 13th or something like that. Don't see it. I don't see it. But definitely is, I think, yeah, pretty sure it's gonna be after the 13th, because I think he's gonna be gone for the next week, which is fine. And Jeff is completely fine with that too, just because of he knows what the deal is for it. Now, actually, Doug, you probably don't know. Frank's been having problems with
What's
Discord
that?
lately, which is he's getting error
Okay.
3002, which is a problem with the mic. Now, basically, he got a second mic to replace the original one because people are complaining that Frank's mic has been fuzzy, not really clear. So
Okay.
I was wondering if you had any experience with that. Like, oops.
No.
Okay.
But
That's.
I can take a couple educated guesses. I don't know anything about his software, but if it's old like mine, it could be an update issue. It could be that he might have a problem with his connection.
Yeah,
Maybe you can clean the connecting port out. If it's got like the right kind of like crud in it, like any other traditional sound system setup.
right.
With a mic, if it gets scored or dirty on the inside, then it's not going to necessarily work properly. It could be if the new mic is doing the same thing as the old mic, then there's a strong possibility it's his audio input. So he might need to plug it into a different audio input on his computer and try that. If he's done that, then it could be a software issue where his operating system is not taking the input properly, or it could be a Discord problem, might be a corrupted file, it could be anything. Those are just a few quick guesses without knowing anything about his operating system.
That's one thing. Actually, you got a good point, which is I don't know what kind.
Or even the version of Discord he has. It could be that Discord updated and caused the issue. So
Didn't think about that.
who knows? It's like, does he have a current version of Discord?
I have not checked.
And is that compatible with your system?
I will check with that, with him. And also check.
Because if I get my machine back, if I get my machine back and I can use Discord, I'm still running that on an old version that doesn't get updates and it still works. So to me, it kind of.
Doug? Oh, Doug. I think I lost you, Doug. Okay, hold on. I'll be back. Hello. Okay, hold on. Okay, you there now?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
So what was the last thing I said before I cut out?
You're talking about Discord, and obviously the old version of Discord.
But my gut is towards it could be a hardware issue, and he might just need to. The first step I would take if I was him would be to check and see if. It, like clean out the connectors.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, maybe check his files that handle the audio stuff. Make sure they're not corrupted and the device is working properly.
Okay.
I mean, it could be a Discord issue. Could be anything.
Yeah, in theory.
But that kind of.
Right. In theory, it could be a bandwidth issue. Because usually. Upload bandwidth is more limited than download bandwidth.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But on the other hand, if he's used two different mics, mm-hmm. if he's used two different mics in it,
mm-hmm.
to me that's sounding a lot like it could be a problem with the port.
That's possible. Now, the one thing I need to find out from him is how does he have it connected? Is it, a regular... microphone port, like the 3.5 millimeter of connectors, or is it like a USB mic where it connects up using a USB connector, like USB-A or USB-C into the computer?
But the thing is, were they both the same?
Right.
Like that, if they're different, if they were different, if one of them is a USB and the other is the old jacked style, then what you could have then is a software issue, very likely. And you could check a device on the bus instead of the actual input spot. Or is software, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm talking out my ass now.
Understood. But yeah, hey, give me some ideas that I can talk to him about to see if make sure other things aren't interfering or having problems with
there is another thing that comes to mind then, by the way.
What's that?
If he was having an issue with one and you switched to the other, maybe he should check his audio input device in Discord.
Hmm.
As well as in his operating system.
Oh.
Because there is that section in Discord where you can pick your audio input device.
Yes. Yeah. Which means,
and if that was switched around or shut off, then if it's completely shut off or put to a device that he isn't using or a port that he's not using,
right,
then he's not going to get input through those two,
mm-hmm.
or he may get a limited. I don't know. So
yeah,
a limited connection.
Yeah, but you definitely
bring up. Says, well, I'm getting some audio, but it's not the official device.
Right. Well, yeah, agreed. I think you got a good point there, which is there is the possibility that he plugged in the new mic, but Discord is not even using, wasn't even using the old mic. It was using like the microphone from the laptop. That kind of thing. And that is actually having a problem.
Yeah, it could be anything.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it could be anything with Discord. It could be a problem where it's picking up the default from the system, but it wants to do something else that it's specified to do.
Right.
So yeah, just tell him to check that particular part of the Discord program.
Okay.
I don't have it in front of me because I don't have that on the laptop that I have here at the moment.
Okay.
I haven't added to it. I haven't bothered to add it to it because I don't have a mic with me right now.
Mm-hmm. Understood. There. Don't mind me.
Oh, when we're all done, can you talk to me for a few minutes about something then?
Yeah, I definitely want to talk to you about something.
I had a thought, but not about stuff in the podcast, sorry.
Yeah, understood.
Okay, so moving on, you got a few different points back. Did you like eliminate any? Did you take internals?
No. Previously, I didn't take any internals.
It's just, the
point of that basically was that my shield is not completely white or close to white. It has one box on the destroyer. So. That gives me a little more leeway.
And the answer is how many boxes you get back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know, if he decides.
Did it affect your play?
No. Because basically what happened is that he fired and then he turned away. So I didn't.
So basically you just need to figure out how many points you get back.
Right. Question is, do I get four or do I get five?
Yeah. And the question is, did you use reserve power or not?
Right, exactly. That's the big question there. Is, you know, I got that's why I have to look at my own file, I have to look at my own ships to find out what I did there. But another point to this sidetrack, revisiting of the 500 BPV game is that one, it will be continuing with Frank taking the helm. From Justin, because Justin had to drop. He also, and so Frank and I will begin together. Frank is retired, so that his flexibility is a lot better, and he should be able, he will have problems with work issues like Justin had, where, all of a sudden work got busy, mm-hmm. and he couldn't play, or something happened and he had to work, anything like that. Frank won't have that issue, so we should actually see some progress starting with the week of the 13th. So it'd be good, mm-hmm. and I actually should be able to show you guys some of the stuff. Obviously the one thing I will not be able to show you, of course, is my EA. So, because if Frank wants to, he can watch the videos afterwards. That's why I got to make sure I don't show off my EA at all. I would like to continue to, to do that so that people can share. And this is for, okay, that's what I thought. I just want to double check. Don't mind me. I was just double checking on That was in my email. I just checked to make sure that what I told my men's group is that I'm going to be joining them on Monday morning. I'm on Saturday morning. I just want to make sure that, you know, that I didn't screw up and go, oh, you know, that the family get together, it's actually on July 4th. Then in theory, it could be, you know, because of July 4th on the Friday. But, you know, I was pretty sure it was going to be on Saturday. So, yeah, they did Saturday. But anyhow, getting back actually to the client thing real quick, there's just a few things that for those of you who are on Discord, you'd see that I placed the announcement there. I placed the announcement on my Facebook page. I need to announce it some other places. And of course, there is the all important and better read this or you will bork yourself. Warning. The updates basically include, of course, the fix to the issue with the Hydrant LTT and Tholian CA, basically the opponent not seeing the SSD. The issue with the third party library, it's inconsistent. It's only on certain ships that shows up. So I'm not sure. Obviously, there's a bug deep in it, where it's just like a little glitch here and a little glitch there, and all you need is one character wrong and it's trash. So yeah, it's one of those things that you can't either you get it right or you get it wrong. If you get any wrong, you're screwed. There was an issue with the tractor targeting list when it comes to FedCom that I fixed because of for FedCom I do have a little checkbox called all units. And what that the idea of that is that you can click all units if you're playing by yourself. And the problem is for the guy who reported the issue is that he clicked on all units when it comes to tractors and it didn't show any ship at all. It's like, oh, okay. So that's a problem. That's a problem. Because it's for tractoring, usually you're tractoring opponents' ships and not yourselves. And for SFB, also, Jason, that's it, Jason. I know from Starfleet Warlord. He asked for something for accessibility. It's a minor thing for those with, color blindness. Actually, it's not, I don't think it's a color blindness. What did he say? A person with low vision. Okay. Low vision and severe color deficiencies. That's his issue when it comes to accessibility and his need, which is basically currently, at least originally, in SFB when it comes to EA, there I changed the colors, the background color to red, so that you know that there's something wrong in the EA. Now, obviously, and I know this. If you have a person who's colorblind, yeah, then you're kind of screwed. But at the very least, it will show a background color other than the normal background color. And the problem for Jason was that the text color itself was still black. Be a background color of red with a text color of black. Not really good for when it comes to low vision. You know, it's not good it's not good high contrast when it comes to black with red. So he asked me to change the color of the text to white. So it's a simple little change that I was able to get done and release as part of the major release, which of course was to fix the issues for the ships not showing up. Well, they showed up on the map, you didn't see the SSD on, you know, for your opponent's SSDs or some other opponent's SSDs. So that is fixed.
Here's a random thought. A random thought is, can you animate the characters?
Can you what? Say again?
Like make them Can you animate the character, like the text, and make it blink or something like that if it's an error? If it needs to be fixed.
Right, right.
Because that would transcend the issue of color differences by simply making it blinking at you.
Right, right. That would
be... If it's solid, then it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
If it's blinking, it's a problem.
Yeah, but there's also issues for people have problems with strobing of certain things that can cause seizures. I'm pretty sure that if it's just a single field is strobing like that, I don't think that should affect them. I can't guarantee that. But anyway, more to the point,
yeah,
though.
Just bleeping on and off.
The more to the point is that it would be kind of difficult to do because of the way it is designed. It's designed to have a certain color, and it won't be updated. It won't be redrawn until... that it needs to redraw, and I don't think
what about maybe adding a small pointers on the end that pop in it on a contrasting color, so like for instance you've got the background color he can see, you've got the foreground color he can see, but if there's a problem, then maybe two contrasting little triangles based on the end of the background box come in a contrasting color, so you have like the warning sign thing, except that it's just two triangles pointing to the middle. They're not blocking anything, but they make a visible pointer towards that number.
Right, right.
From each side.
Mm-hmm.
Of the background.
Right, right.
And you could also, if you can do the strobing thing, or you can do that, you could give them the option to set it so that they have problem with strobing, then they get the two arrows. If they don't like the two arrows, they can have it strobe at them.
Right.
The blinking thing is attention getting.
Mm-hmm.
And a background that shifts to like a pattern where that pattern is the two arrows pointing in would be very visible as well. It would stand out from the remainder of the document.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely like the idea. I'm not sure if you've seen it before. I know I've seen it, which is for like fields that are invalid or something like that, that need, require your attention. They have the triangle with the exclamation point in it to indicate, that field.
Yeah. You could do exactly that as well.
Yeah.
And what you do is if you have a color palette that you're choosing from, you can add an additional file to your color palette that is that image,
mm-hmm.
and insert it that way cheaply. That'd probably be the lowest effort thing to do. Because right now you're going and filling in the color, and what you could do is fill it in with an image. Like when I'm working in an editing program for images, they often have different palettes that you can choose from. And in those palettes, you can also choose images as an option. So the image will be X size, and you can choose to have it like repeat or be a one-off. And in your case, what it would be is the image would be the size of your background block, and you would insert that image in lieu of the color palette.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Next time you're down here, I will pull up, if I have my editing machine back, I'll pull it up, because I don't have an editing machine or edit that kind of software on my current laptop. But if I had the desktop, I could show you exactly what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, cool.
You just have to remember to ask me that.
Will do. And of course, the one thing I did place is the warning, which is I did do something which could cause people's clients to bork, but I feel a little more confident about that it should be okay when it comes to the client, the version of the client that I sent out there. I think it's a lot more solid. And that is that if you have not reinstalled your client since 4.8 or Windows 4.73, you need to find your user input.properties file, copy to the known location to save off your settings, then uninstall the client and reinstall using the latest version of the client. If you installed using 4.8.1.0, because I know there's actually someone who did this, they installed 4.8 and then they did a client in-app update. Problem, it reverted them to 4.62, which is fine. It doesn't harm anything. But all of a sudden, he went backwards. He didn't expect that. But because he expected, if there's any last minute updates that I added in, but I have not added an installer for yet, he could get them. Well, no, you can't. Because I was delaying it so that people who did have 4.62 or anything before 4.7, they wouldn't be borked completely. So hopefully, people will be able to do the update and then we'll have problems. I've not heard anything yet. Now that means either I'm waiting for the canary in the coal mine, the one that screams, "Hey, I did this and I can no longer use the client." Like, okay, that's fine. This is what you have to do. So hopefully I won't have many people run into that issue. Hopefully people read my warnings. I'm probably going to send out another email on this one, on this update, because I did that for the last one, just because it was so critical that people understand that they, to get the latest update to the client, they will have to reinstall. Because there are certain things that change in the configuration and change in the way that the client starts up and runs that cannot be modified, cannot be updated as part of an in-app update. It is what it is. So you have to...
You just have to overwrite the client.
Yeah. So, that's a warning. And of course, I put a note here, say, if you do not abide by this warning and do an in-app update using an earlier version of the client, you will bork your client and need to reinstall the client anyway, basically. So just a warning for those of you who are listening, to be careful out there. Hopefully, I'm when it comes to the updates to the clients, still take a while, because I have to copy it around to two other machines to actually create all the installers. I got one machine which is actually behind the camera, which I do all my Mac installers for. And then I create the installer. It's more importantly that it will, I can then notarize it with Apple. So then I can release it and people can download it and not have a problem. Obviously, Windows people, it's Windows. Give me a break. And what I truly mean is that Windows is very much the trusting of the different executables and different websites, reputational, that's it, that's the word I was looking for. It was on the tip of my tongue. Couldn't quite remember. Representationally based. And the problem with SOB Online, I am a very small website. They might, Microsoft itself might see 100, maybe somewhere between 100 and 1,000 people hit the website. And not that many people download anything. So it is very concerned that my download is malware. So what I have to do, I have to tell people, okay, download it, ignore it, ignore the warnings and so forth, because of there's nothing I can do about it. And actually, the funny part is, there's a podcast I listen to called Security Now. And on Security Now, one thing that GRC, Steve Gibson, who's been doing this, doing Windows programming for years. I mean, years. He does these little utilities, nothing big. You know, the most product he's known for is SpinRay, which is a great piece of software for fixing hard drives, which is great. Problem is that even him, he does everything right. He will go and actually sign, you get a certificate. He signs his applications and so forth. Does everything right. And even him, until enough people download his application and say, yeah, he's a good dude, a good application. Even him, he has the same problems that I do. And that's why originally I was going to get a certificate, and I purchased it. I never submitted all the information that they needed for the certificate. And I'm glad I didn't, just because the people that were behind it was Komodo. And if you're anyone who knows security, know that they suck. So, yeah, they're cheap, but they suck. And I'm concerned that if I were to give them my information, like, oh, my driver's license and things like that, which are very personal, that they kind of need to verify your identity, they would have lost it or given it away. So, like, nah. If I want someone who I could trust, it's like $400 a year to do that. And at this moment in time, I don't see me spending $400 for a certificate for all the Windows users. Sorry, Windows users. Because from my understanding, from Steve Gibson, and who, you know, has a lot more downloads than I can ever imagine, for his software, if he runs into the issue, until he builds up enough of a trust relationship, you know, reputation of having good, that software is good, he has problems. Why should I spend the money? Really, why should I spend the money? So that's why I. Hi, cat. He's being very cute. I have a bag here. He dove into the bag. What is it, Boomy? Boomy is a very, very, very cute kitten. Boomy also has, it got distemper, so he is kind of disabled, which is interesting. No, please leave that alone. So I have a disabled son and a disabled cat. Interesting. But anyway, so that's what it is. And I have to reply back to Frank about that, because of, big surprise, it's gonna scream going, hey, you know, you know that this might be malware. It's like, no, it's not malware. It's not malware. It's just it's a long-lived site, because let me see, do I have this? Actually, I should be able to find it. Let me do who is on SFB Online. According to the DNS records, SFBOnline.com was registered in 1999, so it's the that website is 26 years old. You want to talk about old websites? It's, when it comes to domains, it's very, very, very old. So,
nice.
Yep, exactly. So, just because that's the website is 26 years old, and I've been paying for that registration. I've been paying for it, so it still exists. Don't trust me. This is one of the things that concerns me when I pass on to the next life. And that is, what will happen with all this stuff? You know?
Yep.
You know, obviously, in theory, I should definitely live longer than Steve Cole and Steve Patrick and possibly Anna. Maybe even Gene. Probably. Maybe Al. I might be the last one. I'll be the one to turn the lights off. So I'm not too terribly concerned about that, because I already told you that we have, there is a plan for that. But you know what happens with me? You know, okay, my website might be up to running for a little bit until funds runs out. In theory, at the moment, here's a whack thing. In theory, if I died, as long as all the bills got paid, those websites would still run. The SMB Online client would still be usable as long as the website was up. And unless the website, if there's a problem with the VM, with the, you know, or VPS, virtual something server. Unless something dies, it'll run forever. Actually, at the moment, it can't run forever because it's running a log that has a tendency of filling up the disk space. In which case, then the server becomes unusable. Now, in theory, I could probably solve that and have maybe do an auto reboot after, if it gets too low on disk space, or cut back on the logging, or have it so it actually be able to rotate the logs. That'd be a good thing to work on. But anyhow, so it never would happen. But anyhow, because actually in theory, I'd be able to do that. Just have to use the rotate that's built into like Apache to do it. Yeah, that should work. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Anyhow, sorry. But anyway, so obviously at some point in the future, maybe not in 10 years, maybe not in 20 years, you know, yeah, probably somewhere between 20 and 40 years, what I figured, I might take off this mortal coil. This temporal body of mine will be gone. We'll cease to function. And then what happens? Hopefully, at some point in the future, there'll be some young whippersnapper that says, hey, I like to, I see good things for SFB and SFB Online. I'd like to buy what your website, buy your user base, and take over. In which case, I go, fine, here. Obviously, I have to, currently, because of the licensing agreement, I'd have to have the okay from ADB, whoever's running ADB at that time, and or whoever owns the license, if for example, ADB sells it, or if there's, I'm not exactly sure how that would work because of licensing from Paramount and so forth. So anyhow, actually, not even from Paramount directly. I don't think That's always the groovy thing, and why I can probably never have my application ever in the Mac App Store. Because I tried to get there, and basically they want documentation. You know, they want to see a contract that said we can use Star Trek material. So, and Steve goes, "Oh, just, you know, let me talk to them." Like, oh, okay. I'm not sure they'll agree to that. But anyhow, so hopefully that will all work out in the end. Obviously, that's one thing I have to work on again, which is get back to working on some accessibility. I was on an accessibility kick there for a while, and then I got busy with other things other than SOP Online, other than the client, and I need to get back to working on the accessibility of the client. Because it's better. It is much better than it once was. Especially with the big one, the big thing for SFB, which is the adding of the non-graphical SSD support for that to actually. Oh, but okay. Don't mind me. I just got text by Doug saying, "Hey, the call dropped again." So let's hold on for a moment and see if Doug will call back. Yeah, you can call Scoop. Okay. Okay. So hold on. That was obviously in the video. You were watching me actually leaving the room. So you could see a little behind the scenes. Oh, yeah, dude.
The drop, so I don't know why it did it. Phone shows it's got a good signal here. So. Maybe we can get my other machine from the other place, and I can use Discord next time.
Mm-hmm. Understood. But yeah, not sure if it's your end or my end. So could be
no idea.
Oh, well, me neither. I don't think we can ever figure out.
I wasn't. I wasn't touching the phone either time. So
understood.
It could be anything.
Yeah, it could be some glitch.
So you went out at I don't. The pondering of what happens when you die to
right.
the stuff that you put right. online.
Right. I'm not gonna repeat everything for you, because otherwise people are gonna go, okay, you already said this. But anyhow, yeah. The only thing right. I mentioned was that, you know, hopefully by the time that occurs, that's there'll be somebody to take up the mantle and move forward. But
well, you need to get somebody involved in that then.
Right. Oh, understood.
And get them involved in the passion project, because you know it's a small world, small field to pick through.
Yeah, I know. But okay, yeah. Right before you text me, one thing I was talking about, which is I need to get back to a little more accessibility work. As I pointed out just a moment ago, that I did a lot of good work, and the big thing was the non-graphical SSDs. So you actually, well, in theory, non-sighted people, their screen reader should be able to read it, and hopefully understand it. hoping it, that's understandable to people. I really am. Using that, obviously sighted, it's pretty simple, pretty easy to understand. Because it's, you know, it's the ship box type and then the number of those boxes. Where the world? My kitten was crying at me. And for those of you on video, you'll notice on my left shoulder, I have my one kitty who's sleeping on top of my printer.
Aww.
What, Boomy, what is it?
I miss my kitty.
Yeah, Omaha. Poor Omaha.
Yeah, but I can't take her in moving back and forth here.
Agreed. You know, but I know this is going to be probably a lot of stress for Omaha.
Yeah.
Yes. For those of you, this is the new little local Zinti around here. So for those of you on video can see the cute little kitten. Yes, I love you too. Numbnut. He's a numbnut. Okay. Did I put you down?
Yeah, it's not a finish.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure yet. Then three just wanted to stick with me.
Is this the Kazini show? Kazini show.
Well, you know how that occurs. You know, you have the big Zinni.
Zinni Kitty show.
Who right now is those of you who know the local Zinni that usually interrupts the show. He's laying right now off my left shoulder on top of the printer. Okay. No. Okay. This one goes, okay, I want to play. Pop. I want to play. Well, guess what? You can play, but not on my computer or any of my audio equipment. He wants to chew on, big surprise, this cable, which is the one for my headphones. And he's not the first. If you actually look closely at this and you feel it, you can feel the teeth marks. Fortunately, it's a very good cable in that it's hard to get past the outer part of it to get to the wires and then require me to actually replace the cable. And actually, I'm not sure if I can even get this cable anymore because this is from Minor Price. That's where I got these headphones, which I've been using for years. It's the padding of it are kind of worn. The padding still works fine. It's just that the plastic that covers it, you know, it's kind of flaking off and so forth. But it still works, so it's comfortable. So that's why I continue to wear them after all of these years, because I know these are the ones I've used forever when it comes to any video that I've done. You know, anytime you see it, you've seen this pair. But anyhow, I think actually I need to get going. I know it's been a kind of a short podcast, but to be completely and totally honest, I've been vamping the whole time. Big surprise.
Well, look, it's July.
Yeah.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Happy 4th of July.
And also, that means August is right around the corner. We're about 8 weeks out from Gamers of Summer.
Yeah, which is September.
Which is still on, and I still need a schedule from somebody.
I wonder who that could possibly be. Couldn't be me. No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, it is. Not your cats.
I thought it was my cat's job.
Somebody in the video that's not furry.
Oh, okay.
So, it kind of narrows it down, I think.
Yeah, I think it does too. But anyhow, Doug, it's been a pleasure having you around. You have a good night.
Thanks for having me on.
Goofball. Okay, mate. So, quick podcast on different topics, obviously, from the 500 BPV tournament, and looks like Dustin made some some boo-boo, some made some mistakes. Obviously, you know, I need to familiarize myself more with the rules when it comes to that kind of thing. To be honest, I was wondering about the four impulses versus eight impulses, but I didn't have a chance to actually read. I know Justin gave me every opportunity. It's not to say that he was bullying me and trying to get away with something. He said, you know, if you need to, we can stop, you know, anytime and just, you can look up the rules and so forth. I was like, okay, fine. You know, I said, I trust you. Obviously, he can be wrong. So he's human. Surprise! He's human. So anyway, obviously, looks like I'll be restarting the game at a minorly better position. I think it's actually, yeah, I'd say minorly, though at the same time, having five extra boxes, possibly, four or five, one or two. If it's four, obviously I got more power. Five, you know, I've got more shields, which is good. That means I don't have to worry about, you know, him taking some long, far field on pot shots at me and getting through my shield and knocking completely down and cause me all kinds of other grief, because then things get nasty, because then he'll just keep on plunking me on that one down shield. Actually, in this case, it'll be Frank, that's other than Justin, so understood. But hopefully, as I said, you know, when it comes to the ending of SWP Online, hopefully that won't happen any time soon, and hopefully there'll be someone to pick up the mantle. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.